You know, God wants to do a new thing in your life. In Isaiah chapter 43, verse 18 and 19, the Bible says, forget the former things and do not dwell on the past. See, I'm doing a new thing and now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I'm making a way in the desert and streams in the wasteland. You know, God is a God of new beginnings. He does new things. And I've been in a lot of houses over the years, you know, working for different people and being a sales rep for Truebilt Building Company. I was in a lot of people's houses. And one thing I noticed was that people tend to get stuck in a certain moment in time that involve maybe a time of significant impact in their life. And it can be caused by an exciting and fun time in their life or a traumatic experience that shook them to the core and everything just stopped. You know, it seems that now they live in like a time capsule, a museum of the past moments. You know, this you can tell sometimes by the decorations on the wall or the paint color or the color of carpet and sometimes what's in the yard. You know, even by how people dress and talk sometimes, you can tell what moment in their life meant the most. You know, this also happens to churches too. We can usually tell when the glory days of the church were by the decorations on the wall or the paint, the carpet, and sometimes all you hear is the stories about what used to be, about some people in the church, and those are good things, good memories. Those are good things. But this indicates that there was a time when things were going well, but then for some reason, it just stopped in time and just stayed. You know, life is filled with transitions, and some are welcomed, and some are unexpected. You know, we can become so fixated on past experiences, whether victories or failures, that we struggle to move forward. But God calls us to embrace the new thing He is doing, like Isaiah says when he speaks of this, and he says, it's a divine declaration of renewal and transformation and hope. Many people are held captive by the weight of yesterday, by their past. But God is in a business of making things new, not dwelling on the old things. And sometimes God doesn't change our situation because He's trying to change our hearts. You know, the process of transformation requires trust, obedience, and faith. Forget the former things, Isaiah says. Forget the former things. Isaiah speaks to the Israelites who were exiled in Babylon, and there was just a remnant of them left. They had seen God perform wonders in the past, and they remember the stories particular of delivering their ancestors from Egypt. They dwelled on those things, but God says, forget all that. It is nothing compared to what I'm going to do. Amen?
Amen.
The Hebrew word there, forget, it means to no longer be influenced by what, by that, or controlled by something. No longer be influenced or controlled by something. God is not saying that we have to erase history, but to stop allowing the past to dictate the future. Because let me tell you, you get stuck in the past, it dictates your future. Because you're focusing on what's behind you and not what's ahead of you. Their focus was on past miracles like the parting of the Red Sea, but God, He wanted them to expect greater things. Greater things. Jesus said that to his disciples. When he left, he said, and you'll do greater things than I ever did. And I can imagine what they were like, what does that mean? We have seen you raise people from the dead. We have seen you heal people. We have seen all these things, and you're saying that we're going to do greater things than you ever did. Man, that's quite something to take in, isn't it? Even for us today. Even for us today to think about that. What about you this morning? What are you focusing on this morning? Paul echoes this in Philippians 3, 13 and 14. I focus on this one thing. I focus on this. Brothers, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is ahead. I love that. The NLT says it like this. I focus on this one thing, forgetting the past and looking forward to what lies ahead. I press on to reach the end of the race and receive the heavenly prize. I like that. Paul is saying, forget about what you did. Forget about what you didn't do. Forget about what someone did or you did to them. The prize is ahead and not behind you. Focus on what's ahead. What past failures or successes this morning would if I asked you, I mean, what are you clinging on to prevent you from taking God's new work? What are you clinging on to this morning? What are you holding on to? You know, a lot of people hold on to regret. They hold on to bitterness because somebody offended them sometimes. And 30 years later, they're still offended. They can't get past it. And it holds them back. They become a slave to that unforgiveness. And the Bible says, Paul said this to the church, if you're going to take communion, you better take a look at yourself. Because if you have aught with your brother, you need to go get it taken care of before you come and have communion in an unworthy way. There's seriousness there. Trust that God has greater plans ahead. Jeremiah said that in chapter 29, verse 11. Recognize that there is a new thing going to happen. Isaiah says this. Something new is going to happen in your life. If you've been saved, something new is happening, right? Something changed in you. It's a new thing. For I'm about to do something new. Isn't that exciting? I mean, if we could just believe that, it's something exciting. God's going to do something new in your life. I've already begun it, though, he says. I've already started. You don't even know it. Don't you see it? Can't you see that I've already begun a new thing? You know, God's constantly at work, but we must be spiritually sensitive to perceive it. That word new, when you look at it in Hebrew, it means fresh and unprecedented, something never seen before. God's new work, it looks different sometimes from past experiences. 2 Corinthians 5:17, this means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person, right? Old things have passed away. There is something new happening. Amen? Why can't we walk in the newness of life? We don't have to walk in the oldness of life. Oldness comes soon enough for a lot, right? And I'm telling you, it makes it harder to walk the older you get. Yeah. I'm preaching to the choir here this morning, aren't I? But I'm telling you, I want to walk in the newness of life because, you know, one of these days, we're not going to have all this oldness and all this hurts, pains, and all that. We're going to be walking with a new glorified body. Be no more pain, no more sorrow, no more sickness. We're all going to be together around the throne. I mean, We're going to be there in heaven together, unified under one body. You can't get along with people here. What's going to happen when you get there? It's not going to happen, right? It's like, just saying. God renews our hearts and our minds and our circumstances too. Man, he's changed so much in my life. He has. Often we don't recognize the new thing because we expect it to look like the old thing. Think about that. I can't imagine a caterpillar expecting to crawl forever. But one of these days, you know, something happens. He becomes a new creation, flies off like a butterfly. He goes into that process. Imagine that. God's new thing in your life may require you to break out of a cocoon of comfort and step into a uncharted territory. You know, I think sometimes we go through that cocoon process. I think we have to mostly be willing to step out in faith, even when the new thing seems unfamiliar or uncomfortable. I pray for discernment to see the new thing that God wants to do in my life. I pray for that discernment. You know, God provides in the wilderness too. Isaiah says this. Verse 19, I will make a pathway through the wilderness. I will create rivers in the dry wasteland. The wilderness is a place of uncertainty and dryness and difficulty. And I know that all of us have been, we've all been through those moments in our life. But God is not limited by your situation. You hear me? He makes a way where there seems to be no way. There's a lot of examples in the Bible. In Exodus 14, 21 and 22, God made a pathway through the Red Sea, didn't he? In John 4, 13 and 14, Jesus is the source of living water and he offers eternal salvation, eternal satisfaction. Think about that. He says, you'll never thirst again. Man. In Psalms 23, 4, he says, even when I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, even when I walk through the darkest valleys, I will not be afraid, for you are close beside me. You're right there with me. I like looking at the Hebrew words or the Greek words because when you think about, when you look at that word pathway, it refers to the road, of course, but it's a road of action. God provides direction. Rivers symbolize life and provision and refreshment in arid places. I read a story about a missionary that once got lost in the jungle and he was unable to find his way, his path out, and he stumbled across this man who turned out to be a local guide. And the local guide said, follow me, I know the way. And Jesus, though, is our guide. He's our guide through life's wildernesses. And he not only knows the way, he is the way. Amen. Do you trust God's provision even in those dry seasons? Even when you're going through hard times, do you still trust God? Or are you focused on the past? Are you so caught up in yourself in the past that you can't get through it and you can't see what God wants to do for you? We got to seek His direction rather than relying on our own understanding. So we have to step into a new faith or step into the new with faith. How's that? You know, Joshua and the Israelites, they come to the River Jordan. This was after Joshua took over for Moses after Moses passed, and so they come to this River Jordan. They didn't know what to do. And like the Red Sea, God parted the waters. That's what it says in Joshua 3:15 and 27. But first, God told them to step into the water before it parted. That's an important part of that scripture. For the second time in the scripture, God parts the water, but this time God says, you step in the water first. That's faith. He's testing their faith. Sometimes we must move forward in faith before we see God's provision. Sometimes we have to step and just keep stepping and just keep stepping. And God will take care of it. Hebrews 11:1, it says, faith shows the reality of what we hope for. It is the evidence of things we cannot see. Matthew 14:29 says, it's talking about Peter. He walked on water when he fixed his eyes on Jesus. But all that happened when he took his eyes off Jesus. He sank like a rock. Isaiah 41:10, it says, don't be afraid, for I'm with you. So what do we have to fear? If we're walking in faith, if you're walking in faith, you have nothing to fear. How deep's the water? Doesn't matter. God's going to see me through. He's right next to me. I'm going through a dry season, and I don't understand why I'm going through this. Just keep going. It may get real dry, but God's right there with you. Take bold steps in obedience, knowing that God goes before you in everything. I would say let go of fear and trust God's promise. Man, I'm getting through quick today. That's okay. You guys are like, man, I'm going to be on time. I'm going to be at the Mexican restaurant here before the crowd gets there, before the Pentecost church gets out. Well, let me tell you, they've got till 12:30. You're good. As long as we're out here by then.
Surely I got more.
No. But sometimes we just have to take those bold steps in our faith. And we have to trust God and all that is going on in our life. And we have to quit looking at the past. And we have to start looking at the future of what God wants for us in our life. Because guess what? You can't change the past. You're not going to change the past. No matter how hard you try, you're not going to change the past. It's just like saying something that you regret. Words have already been said. You can't take them back, right? All you can do is walk forward in the future and trust God in obedience, knowing that He is going with you. He's making a way for you. We have to let go of fear and trust God. And so is God calling you to let go of the past and step into a new thing today? Is He? Will you trust Him to lead you through the wilderness? Will you allow Him to create rivers in your desert places? So I'd like to invite you in your hearts this morning. If you've not yet received Christ into your life, don't leave here today without doing so. Don't leave here today without allowing Christ to do a new thing in your life. Become a new creation. Old things have passed away. Jesus is the ultimate new thing. He will do things and take you places you never thought you were able to go. He is the way, the truth, and the life. And I would say, please, this morning, surrender to Him, and He'll make you new. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray that not one person here this morning leaves this place without knowing You. Lord, I hope that everyone gets a newness in their life. Let us walk in faith, knowing that You walk right beside of us every day, even when we don't understand it. Letting go of those things in the past and grabbing hold of what's new in the future. Lord, I thank You again for Your promises that You give. I trust and believe. Lord, I thank You for this great group of people that have come here today to honor and glorify You. Let us leave better than we came, walking in faith, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.